that you take men and women. Lord, you use us in your kingdom. Father, this morning my prayer is that you might bless your people here. Glorify your name. And Lord, just be magnified in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles. And I'm reading Luke chapter 2. And I make no apologies, I'm using the New King James Version. Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 8. But what can it bring different for Christmas? 2 weeks' time, it's Christmas. And Robin, I can't remember, Robin, did you say I got half an hour? Oh, half an hour, yeah. Okay, I knew it wouldn't be hour and a half. Verse 8, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. There is born to you in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was when the angel had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Who would have thought that long ago, so very far away, a little child would be born and in a manger laid? Who would have thought this little child was born the King of Kings, the son of just a carpenter for whom the angels sing? And who would have thought that as you grew and with other children played, this little child with whom they laughed and sang would die for them one day? And who would have thought this little child could make a blind man see, feed the hungry, make rich the poor, and set the sinners free? Who would have thought this little child was whom the prophet said would take away the sin of men and rise up from the dead? Oh, I believe, and I will always sing, this little child, he was the King. Oh, I believe, and I will always sing, this little child, he was the King of Kings. Many years have come and go, yet this world remains the same. Empires have been built and fallen, only time has made a change. Nation against nation, brother against brother, men so filled with hatred, killing one another. And over half the world is starving, while the banner of decency is torn. Debating over disarmament, killing children before they're born. And fools who march to win the right, to justify their sin, not knowing that every nation that has fallen from within. Yet in the midst of this darkness, there is a hope, a light that burns. For this little child, the King of Kings, someday will return. Who would have thought this little child is whom the prophet said will return to judge the living and the dead? Oh, can't you see that long ago, so very far away, this little child, our only hope, was born a king that day? And can't you see that even now, as unto him we pray, this little child, our only hope, is still the King today? And I believe, and I will always sing, this little child, He is the King of Kings. And I believe, and I will always sing, this little child, he is the King of Kings. I suppose if we're going to talk about Christmas, there are so many avenues and so many things that we can talk about. But I entitled my message, The Messenger, the Message, and the Meaning. Because if there's one thing that we need to understand, is even as Christians, what Christmas is all about. I trust in these few moments that I'll bring back into some relevance what it means. Now, being a subject of debate, newspaper articles, stories, countless books, TV serials, there have been films about them, there have been postcards, T-shirts, even sunglasses, all depicting them. 69% believe in them. 46 believe they have a personal one. And 36% believe they have an helpful one. What I'm talking about, angels. Have you seen an angel? I know we call each other sometimes, you're my angel, but have you seen an angel? The chances are you wouldn't even know if you had, because it tells you verse 2 that many have entertained angels unawares. The likelihood is if you have encountered an angel, it was without knowing till after the event when you realised that you had. Angels do not have wings. Over 200 references in the Word of God, you never see angels have wings. Cherubim and seraphim have wings, but they are not really, strictly speaking, angels. Angels are created beings. We don't know when they were created, but we know they are created, probably before man and before the foundations of the world. They are not to be worshipped. So that puts the Mormons in their place, because they worship angels. They are innumerable in number, but we know that Jesus could have called 10,000 angels when he was being crucified. Revelation chapter 29, verse 9 says that when John saw all these things he said he went to bow down at the feet of the angels, but was said, do not do it. I am a servant. Worship God. So we do not worship angels. Angels are ministering spirits sent forth from God to minister. Hebrews 1 verse 14, they are ministering spirits sent out to minister for those who inherit salvation. Now I remember the debate many years ago when I was younger in the faith about whether only Christians have angels watching over them. And others were saying, no, we all have angels. But I'm not so sure about that. There are many incidents in the Bible where people have been, and in every dialogue, where people have been saved from dangerous situations, and angels have been there for them. I was reading about a young lady in one part of New York named Maria, who was a Christian. And she was walking through a part of New York, and she had to go down an entrance where it was notorious for people being mugged and people being raped. And so she was walking down, she noticed a gang of people following her. But she got through by herself and was safe. And afterwards, those men were asked, why didn't they go near her? And they said, what, when she had two men walking on either side of her? I believe that that was angel visitation. Angels come in ranks. There are only two mentioned in the Bible, who of course are Matthew and Gabriel. Unless you include Lucifer, who was of course, or is of course, the devil. In fact, he was no ordinary angel. He's known as the Son of the Morning, which means he was something of great beauty and position. And his main job was to orchestrate worship to God until pride set in and he was cast out of heaven. Jesus believed in angels. They often intervene in the affairs of man. They're able to come to us in human form. Genesis 9, verses 1 and 2 says, so Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when he saw them, he said, this is God's camp. In other words, he had an encounter with angels who he saw, and he believed that that place was the dwelling place of God. They came to Lot in Sodom, Genesis 19, to warn him to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah because God was going to destroy. They came to Balaam in Numbers 22 to show that Balaam was a bigger ass than his donkey, because the angel spoke to the ass, not to Balaam. And David was also encountered angels in Chronicles. They play an important part, a very important part in the work and word of God. They protect God's people. Psalm 34, verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. Every one of us who knows the Lord, we're not alone. Every moment of our lives, God is watching over us, but he has angels who will be there to protect us and to lead us and to guide us. And of course, it would be impossible to go through Christmas and not think of angels. You can't have the nativity without angels. Angels were at the birth of Jesus. They were with Jesus when he ascended back to the Father. And they were with Jesus when he returns to take us to be with himself. Imagine the Christmas story without angels. Be like Morecambe without wise, or fish without chips. We cannot separate angels from the Nativity. They are there before and after the event. The angel, the word angel, simply means messenger. However, with Robin, we'll make an exception, okay? You might think he's an angel. Perhaps, praise the Lord, he is, I suppose. They are sent from messengers to reveal what God is going to do or in what way he's going to act. They intervene in situations for us. In Daniel 6, when Daniel had been thrown into the den for refusing to stop praying to God, it says that King Darius couldn't sleep. And he got up very early to see what had happened to Daniel, expecting to see nothing but bones. Or did he? Because clearly there was something that made Darius, in Daniel's life, really question this God who Daniel served. Because if you read the account, it says that he went and he came without delay, first thing in the morning, and he called out to Daniel, has your God been able to deliver you? And Daniel answered, he sent his angels to shut the lion's mouths, so they could do me no harm. Angels are sent. They don't come at their own bidding. They come at the command of God to make us aware of the presence of God. They come with a specific task to specific people at certain times and in certain situations. They are sent from the presence of God, just as Gabriel said to Zacharias, I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you. They bring comfort in time of distress. Jesus was surrounded by angels at his temptation, and he was surrounded by angels in the garden. They protect us. They protect God's people from unseen dangers, and to bring the word of God to reveal what God is going to do. Many are the stories of people who have been in situations which have been dangerous. They have come through only to realize that God had sent angels to intervene. I have witnessed that in my own life. In the Christmas story, there are four references to angels: to Zacharias, to Mary, to Joseph, and the shepherds. Do you know, ladies, that Joseph was the perfect husband? Robin wanted to say this last week, but he got it wrong. So I'm going to say, do you know why Joseph was the perfect husband? Because if you read the scriptures, it was getting ready for married life. Because if you read the scriptures, he never spoke a word. Because he realized when he got married, he'd never have the chance. I've got the men on my side, praise God. So God uses angels to get across his message. Those are the messengers. Now I want to bring the message. And in the same country, there were shepherds looking after their sheep. And it says, behold, or suddenly an angel came and they were afraid. You know something? I don't blame them. I think if I'd been sat there quietly minding my own business and suddenly somebody appeared out of nowhere, I know exactly how they would feel. But the angel had a message for them. And once again, we see how God intervenes in the affairs of men. This time, not in judgment, but in love and in mercy and in grace. We see time and time again in the Old Testament how angels came to bring judgment. Sodom and Gomorrah is one incident where we know that they went to rescue Lot before they destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. But this is a message of grace and love and mercy. And God always moves in grace and love and mercy before he moves in judgment. You see, in the olden times, the appearance of angels to the people usually meant warning or judgment. It would often mean death. But now here, this is a message that they bring, a message of great news, which shall be to all people, everybody, not just the Jews, not just to the special select 144,000, but to everybody on the earth, good tidings of great joy to all people. In the economy of God, all people are saved. Of course, it was a message to the Jews first, and for whom the good news would spread throughout the old world. The universal message of great joy. Whatever colour, whatever creed, whatever tongue, whatever nation, this message is good news to all people. And what a message it is. Little wonder that all heaven broke out in praise and worship God. After the angel had delivered his message, it said there was a multitude of the heavenly host singing and praising God. Luke 2 verse 11, in the city of David, there is a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. Nothing in the plans of God happens by chance. It's so important, every little detail, when God is going to do something that we notice. But even the place where Jesus was to be born was of significance. For the Jews looked for the Messiah who would be born in the city of David, Bethlehem. If you go back to the Old Testament and you read in Micah in chapter 5, verse 2, it says, but you, Bethlehem, though you little among the thousands of Judah, out of you shall come the one to be ruler in Israel. Right back in the Old Testament, we have there a prophecy that Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem. And it tells us that one whose rule was from everlasting could only be Jesus. Bethlehem was a stop-off place for travellers. It would not have been on a sightseeing tour of people, might be today, who go to Israel and go to the Holy Land. But in those days, it was just a stopping off place for people on their journey. A place of no importance. A place which no one knew about. It was a place of no importance, but it was a place that would soon be known throughout the whole world. Does it matter how poor or how forgetful or how a place might be where you can go in it and walk straight out and not even remember where you've been? Doesn't matter how run down it may be, when Jesus is there, it is transformed. And that only applies to places, but it applies to people's hearts, that when Jesus comes into the heart and life of a person, wherever they've been, wherever they may have come from, when that Jesus comes in, their lives are transformed. The Jews knew that the Messiah would come from the city of David, which they recognized as from Bethlehem, which they recognized as the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Christ is from everlasting to everlasting. Hebrews 7 verse 3 says, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, who can this be except the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God? We all have a father. We can all trace our genealogy. Some of us, when we start, might wish that we hadn't, because you might find a few skeletons hidden in the cupboard. I think that's what's always stopped me, you know, wondering what I'm going to find. Going right back into the midst of Wales, I might find somebody who was a murderer or a killer or something like that. So I haven't bothered. But Jesus could only trace his genealogy back to God the Father. He's the eternal Son of God. And in Luke, he tells us a Savior who is Christ, the Lord, capital L. That is very important. So there we have his task and his position. He's the Savior of the world. That is what he came to do. That was his purpose. That was his task. But we also have his position. He is Christ, the Lord. Then we have Bethlehem, which means the house of bread. Well, he said that nothing happens in God's plan by accident or by coincidence. The house of bread is what Bethlehem means. And how fitting that the house of bread should be the place where the one who said, I am the bread of life, should be born. The people will see a baby, but in that manger, there is the one who is the Son of God. Do you believe in the virgin birth? Oh, thank goodness for that. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that Jesus is the second person of the Godhead? I can go home then. Praise the Lord. So Jesus, who is the bread of life, is to be born in the city, which means the city or the house of bread. There was being born a Saviour. There'd be no need for the Saviour if we didn't need saving. Let me repeat again the message of the angel. To you is born a Saviour who is Christ the Lord, who would save his people from their sins, would save them from form and ceremony and ritual practices that they carried on throughout their years and their journeys through the desert, but which could never take away their sin, was only a covering for their sin. All that was to end because Jesus was going to step down into time and he was going to come and be born a babe in Bethlehem, but to die upon the cross to take away the guilt and consciousness of sin so that once and for all, our sins were forgiven. This is the message of Christmas. This is the high point, the pinnacle of redemption story, of redemption issue. This is the greatest moment in the history of mankind. The God had stepped in to be able to bring back his fallen race to himself through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is indeed good news. For him, it meant death, because Christmas and the cross cannot be separated. They're intertwined together, for Jesus came to die upon the cross of Calvary. He came to rescue fallen mankind and bring them back to God. For all human life is born under the curse of sin, heading to darkness and hell, ensnared in the chains of Satan. When out of this little white, this place, and out of the white place, there came that message of hope that rings true right through to us today, that there is a Saviour born in Bethlehem who is the Son of God, who would be the Saviour of the world. What joy should flood our souls. What joy that a Saviour is born. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. His function, his purpose, his one aim in life was to come to save people from their sins. I believe, if you allow me a little bit of license, and I can't prove this from Scripture, so you'll have to allow me in my mind to go to where my mind sometimes takes me, which a lot of cases you don't want to know about. But it says that the shepherds were afraid. But I believe that the demons in hell were also in fear and trembling at the message of the angel, that here is the one who is born, the Saviour of the world. Isaiah 9, verse 2. For the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. The darkness and power of sin was at an end. The long-awaited Saviour had been born. No fanfare, only the angels. No press release, no public relations men, but it is good tidings, which is what gospel means, of great joy. Not just the Saviour, but this man is Christ, the Messiah, the long-sought-for King of the Jews. They had waited for the one who was foretold by every prophet that it would be the direct descendant of David. You know, sad that when Jesus came, his people didn't recognise him. 1 Timothy 3, verse 16, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest or seen in the flesh. So who is this? Who is this child in the manger? We have it there. God manifest in the flesh. That's the miracle of Christmas. That God in Jesus Christ was reconciling the world to himself. Born in obscurity. Nobody knew. The Romans didn't know. The people in Jerusalem didn't know. The authorities didn't know. This unnoticed child, just another baby being born, just another cry of a night of a baby needing feeding, just another mouth to be fed. No one knew, except, of course, the angels, Mary and Joseph, and the shepherds. Of course, the shepherds knew. How wonderful. But isn't this a mistake? Surely the angels should have gone to the high priest. After all, he was the man for the religious people of their time. He was the religious leader of Israel. Why didn't they go to him? What about the Sanhedrin? The Sadducees had made up the Sanhedrin. 70 elders of Israel who were the people who were supposed to guide the people in the things of God. What about the Pharisees, the religious fundamentalists of their day? What about the scribes? The scribes knew the scriptures. They were the teachers. They would have known all about the prophets. So why didn't they go to them? Why didn't they go to the movers and shakers? But no, it wasn't a mistake. It's wonderful how God deals with people. It's so appropriate. It was no accident that the shepherds should be the first to know of the birth of Jesus. But isn't that the point of Christmas? That God did not announce it to the religious elite. He didn't announce it to the spiritual establishment, to those who thought they were so good that they did not need a physician. But he mentioned it to the lowest of the low, the humblest of the humble, the great news of the birth of the Saviour. These men, who were just above, in polite society, the position of a slave. The sheep were not even their own. They were hired to look after them. It required no skill, no MVQ, no degrees. It was something that they did when nothing else was available. We have to remember there was no social security in those days. You either found a job or you begged or you went hungry. Even children could look after sheep. David was a shepherd and he was a boy when he was a shepherd. Shepherds even lived in violation of the Jewish Sabbath. Of course, it was a 7 day a week job. So they broke the Sabbath. They could not maintain the myriad regulations that had been set up by man and added to God's law, which God never intended. And so they were looked on not only as a social outcast, but also religious outcast. But praise God, that was just the sort of person that Jesus came for. But isn't it a metaphor for God saving the lowest sinner, just perfect for what God wanted to bring to the people? Forget the palace, forget the priests, forget those who were full of religion. They didn't recognize the Messiah when he came. Go for the outcasts in society. The church's harvest field is out there, not in here, where the outcasts will be found. But remember this, never disdain shepherds, for Jesus was the good shepherd. And so the birth was announced, the one who was to be the saviour of the world. The little baby born of the virgin that night would bind up the brokenhearted, would heal the sick, would set the prisoner free, would heal the hungry, make the blind man see, and set at liberty those who are in chains. That is the message of what Christmas is all about. That wherever we are, whatever our position in life, Jesus Christ has come to save us, to save, take away our sin. He came to touch the leper, the unclean, the prostitute, the tax collector. He came and broke up the rules of men when he spoke to the woman at the well. But Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is the big picture. This child would be the saviour of everybody and the saviour of anybody who comes and believes. I said earlier, he's the world's saviour. But is he yours? You might be sitting here this morning and you might be wondering what this meeting's all about. Christmas is about Jesus coming as a saviour to save us from our sins. He's my saviour. But is he yours? Paul said, not many wise, not many mighty, not many humble accord, but God has chosen the foolish, all the simple things to confound the wise. So that's the message of good news, the great, the new, stupendous news, a Saviour is born, the Christ, the Lord. There has never been a better time than this. That is the message. Now I'm going to give you the meaning. The world lay in sin and darkness. No hope of life beyond the grave. No hope for sinners. No end of death. No end of sin. No end of pain. No end of Satan destroying and ruining the lives. But Christ came to break the power of sin. He came to destroy the powers of darkness, to destroy Satan and sin, to bring hope, to bring forgiveness, to bring salvation. And he did all that by dying upon the cross and rising again on the third day. He came to replace death with eternal life. He came to replace misery and sorrow with joy. He came to replace condemnation with forgiveness, to replace the fear and death of the grave with the assurance of eternal life, to make the sinner a child of God. Jesus didn't come to set an example of nobility or morality. He didn't come to set an example of holiness. He didn't come to demonstrate kindness and mercy. He wasn't just a prophet. He wasn't just a good man. He wasn't just a good teacher. He was all those, but he was much more beside. It was the second person of the Godhead, born of the virgin birth by a miraculous act of God in his desire to save fallen mankind. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was in the manger. The Prince of Peace, the Son of the Most High, his authority is noted by the fact that he's sitting on the right hand of God, always denotes rule and power. The ruler of an everlasting kingdom, who reigns from eternity to eternity. The upholder of all things, divine, born of the Holy Spirit, King of kings and Lord of lords. This is what Christmas is all about. This is what Christmas is what we're supposed to tell people about. It's easy to get lost in the things that we see around about us when most of them have no idea what Christmas is about. But you and I this morning can rejoice in the good news that the Saviour has come, that our sins are forgiven, we have eternal life in Jesus Christ because of this little babe born in Bethlehem. We can rejoice in the message of great tidings that unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. Suddenly the darkness is gone, the power of sin is broken, the fear and death of the tomb is vanquished. This is what Christmas is about. This is what Christmas means, that you can be forgiven and have peace in God. And I'm really going to finish with these words. This is a favourite carol of somebody who's very close to me who said they want this at their funeral. And here's the reason. Christ, the everlasting Lord, offspring of a virgin womb, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail, the incarnate deity, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. To you this day is born a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful message, Lord, that we have. The Lord, there is hope for lost mankind. And Lord, many may forget what Christmas is all about. But Lord, my heart's desire, Lord, is that we might, Lord, understand just what it's about. That God sent his Son into the world to die for sinners. And that, Lord Jesus, you were obedient. You came to this earth knowing, Lord, it would mean the cross. But Lord Jesus, this little babe Bethlehem, we rejoice, Lord, in good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And we give you praise. Amen.